The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me. Today's broadcast is unscrambling the true identity of Yahushua, not Jesus. Overview of the broadcast. This message may be one of the most challenging that you'll ever hear. If you're a believer who applies the label Christian to yourself, or for that matter, if you're one who applies the label Messianic believer or similar to yourself, we will look at verses that state that the Creator is one and not a duality or a trinity. We will note that Yeshua's name is not Yah, and therefore he is not Yah. I'll stress that Yeshua means Yah is salvation and describes an attribute of Yah. We will note that Yahushua was not the first Hebrew to have that name. We will stress that Yahushua is a God, but not the Almighty, that he is a Lord, but not the Lord. The Lord is equivalent to Yah, the eternally self-existing. We will note that Yahushua is equivalent to Jesus sometimes, but not for everyone. We will note that Yahushua is anointed with the Spirit of Yah, i.e. Christ. We will note that Christ refers to Yahushua only sometimes, but always to Yah. We will stress that Yah is one alone, altogether, singular, not two, or trinity. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering, and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as an IT project manager. I have over 29 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13, and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's endtimeissueministries.org. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's Relationship with Creator Radio, one word. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. You'll find on Google a significant number of podcast sites with the back issues. Today's article, 2010-12-10, Unscrambling the True Identity of Yeshua. This message may be one of the most challenging that you will ever hear if you're a believer who applies the label Christian to yourself, or for that matter, if you're one who applies the label Messianic believer or similar to yourself. This article builds on a number of previous articles about the name of Yah and associated labels applied to Yah, such as the Almighty, generally incorrectly translated God, the name of a pagan deity, Yah the eternally self-existing, generally translated the Lord, which is actually the correct translation of the pagan deity Baal, the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, generally incorrectly translated Christ, and Yeshua, meaning Yah is salvation, generally incorrectly translated Jesus, which is another form of Zeus, a pagan deity. This article sets out to unscramble the true identity of the man most known as Jesus Christ, correctly Yeshua, the anointed of Yah. More specifically, Yeshua, the anointed of Yah, son of Miriam, that's Mary, of Nazareth, born approximately 2,019 years ago in Bethlehem of Yehuda, Judea. Note that Yahushua of Nazareth is not the only Yahushua anointed of Yah. The man you probably know as Joshua from the book of the Bible of the same name was also anointed of Yah, and his name was also Yahushua. In fact, Yahushua was a reasonably common Hebrew name, including at the time of Yahushua of Nazareth. His name did not attract attention. It was the level of anointing and the works he did through that anointing and the words the Almighty spoke through him that were noteworthy, and the fact that he lived a life without sin. But that is the topic of another article. Let us consider some facts about Yeshua which are easily verifiable as a matter of practical consideration if one considers the points that follow prayerfully. So I'm going to go into some depth around this whole piece of who was this man that we call Jesus. What is his identity? Where did he come from? How did he achieve what he achieved? Why should we worship him, or why should we not worship him? It's a challenging subject because there is just so much wrong thinking and wrong teaching in the mainstream churches. I can't comment on the validity or otherwise of the beliefs of other religions about him. I'm aware that Muslims in the Quran recognize him as a great prophet and no more than that, and they're quite accurate there, but not entirely accurate. So point number one, Yah the eternally self-existing, that's the one that you may know as the Lord, is one mighty one. You shall have no other mighty ones before him. In considering what is presented in this broadcast, the following verses are critical. Mark 12:29-30. And Yeshua answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, Yah the Eternally Self-Existing, our Mighty One," in other words, incorrectly, the Lord our God, "is one, Yah the Eternally Self-Existing. And thou shalt love Yah the Eternally Self-Existing, the Mighty One, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." Exodus 20, 2 and 3. "I am Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, thy Mighty One, the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other mighty ones or gods before me." Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5. "Hear, O Israel, Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, our Mighty One, the Lord our God, is one Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, brackets, Lord. And thou shalt love Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, thy Mighty One, the Lord thy God, with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." So some very explicit and very direct passages in the Bible which speak to the exclusivity of the Almighty Creator and make it very clear that He is one, not a duality, not a trinity. He is one being, and it's great sin to say otherwise. In Deuteronomy 5, 6 and 7, "I am Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, thy Mighty One, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other mighty ones before me." This is very clear. Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, our Mighty One, is one Mighty One, and one Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. Not a duality or a plural or a trinity. Yah is one Yah. This is important because Yah himself declared this from the mountain of Sinai in the Arabian Peninsula to an audience of several million people. The only time that I know of that Yah has audibly spoken to millions. So it is surely important. It also forms a core of the basis on which we will be judged at the end of the age. Breaking this commandment could cause you to spend time in hell. See the web page, Where Are You Going? Folks, that verse, those two verses from Deuteronomy, the previous verses from Exodus, are part of the Ten Commandments. "I am Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, Mighty One, thy Mighty One. Thou shalt have no other mighty ones before me." It's very clear. I don't know how you can say that Jesus or Yeshua is the Lord, as in Yah, as in the Creator. He's a man. We'll go into this in more detail in the next few minutes, but it's really important to understand that it is grievous sin to make Jesus or Yeshua equal to Yah, equal to the Creator. It's simply not true. So Yah was at great pains before anything else to stress that He was one and that they were to have no other mighty ones, no other gods before Him. So our criterion in assessing who Yeshua is must be whether He is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, not a proxy, not a messenger, but Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing Himself. If Yeshua is not Yah, then we sin grievously if we assign Yeshua equivalence with Yah or equal rank with Yah, or if we worship Yeshua. In fact, if Yeshua is not Yah, then if you worship Yeshua, you could find yourself tormented in hell for a lengthy period. Yes, there has been grace up to now, but that grace is being rapidly withdrawn. It is therefore vital for each of us that we get clear exactly who Yeshua is. The sections that follow seek to systematically address each of the areas of major misunderstanding that result in people equating Jesus with Christ, with God, with the Lord, with Yah, and drawing the mistaken conclusion that Jesus is God in the flesh, which at one level is true, but at the level that we are discussing here, it is fundamentally incorrect. So we're going to go into quite a bit of detail here, folks, and it's so important, because just about the whole of Christianity is in grievous error on this point. They make Yeshua equal to Yah. They make Yeshua Yah, Jesus God, Jesus the Lord, when he's not. He's a man just like you or I. Yes, a miraculous birth, mighty miracles. Spirit was created right at the beginning, but fundamentally he's a man. So I want to start off by saying that Yeshua's name is not Yah, and therefore he is not Yah. In addressing this topic, the first point I want to make is quite clear. Yeshua's name is Yeshua, not Yah, therefore he's not Yah. Yeshua, therefore, does not satisfy the most elementary criterion to be regarded as being Yah in the flesh. So his name is clear. It means Yah is salvation. It was a reasonably common name throughout the times of Hebrew history, certainly from the time that they came out of Egypt to the time that Yeshua of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, if you like, lived on the earth. Joshua, Yehoshua, the son of Nun, followed Moshe, Moses, led the Israelis out of Egypt. There was a high priest called Joshua, Yeshua, shortly before the Babylonian exile. There were undoubtedly many others called Yeshua throughout that period in history, so that when this child was called Yeshua, it didn't attract any particular attention. It was not intended to attract particular attention. Can you imagine calling a child in a Hebrew community, which is fairly much steeped in tradition, calling him Jesus? That would have been a problem. It would have attracted all sorts of undue attention. He would have been mocked. He would have been ridiculed. His name would have been taken in all sorts of ways. In fact, it's just not going to happen. His name was Yeshua. Then Yeshua's name, Yah is salvation, describes an attribute of Yah, the Creator, not of Yeshua. And it references what Yah sent Yeshua for, as a vehicle for Yah's salvation. Yeshua's name describes an attribute of Yah and makes an absolute statement about Yah. Yah is salvation. Yeshua is not salvation. Jesus is not salvation. Yah, the Almighty Creator, is salvation. Which, if you stop and think about it, makes perfect sense. He created us, therefore he can save us, if we ask him. And that's the catch. Most people don't ask him. Most people don't know that they have to ask him. Yes, Yeshua came as a vehicle for Yah's salvation, but that does not make Yeshua the salvation of Yah. It makes Yeshua the vehicle through which Yah chose to offer man a path to salvation. Yeshua did not do this because of some power of his. He did it through the power of the Spirit of Yah upon him and through a massive act of obedience, through which he lived for 33 and a half years without sin, and then died the most horrible death and still managed to pray at the end, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." As a consequence of dying without sin, death had no hold on Yeshua, and he was resurrected as a simple legal consequence of being free of the guilt that would have given death a hold on him. Because of his obedience and because he was the firstborn from the dead, Yeshua became king of all human kings and lord of all human lords. Again, this is not because of any mystical or magical or supernatural power of Yeshua. It is a simple legal consequence of compliance with the terms of an agreement between Yeshua and Yah, which will be discussed in a subsequent article. Point number four. Yeshua was not the first name Hebrew to have that name. It is important to understand that Yeshua was not a unique name. The Hebrew man who most know as Joshua in the book of that name, who was the assistant to Moshe, Moses, in the wilderness, and who then led the people of Israel into the promised land, was also called Yeshua. And there was a priest called Yeshua. Undoubtedly, there were many others called Yeshua. Thus, there's nothing special about the name of Yeshua other than it speaks about the most wonderful attribute of Yah, that Yah is salvation, that Yah offers salvation. This is what makes the name Yeshua the name above all human names. So there's a big tendency to want to believe that this man was called Jesus and Jesus is somehow a mystical, magical name. Folks, it's just not true. He was a human being. His spirit was created at the beginning of creation. So knew what he was coming to do, knew what he was facing, knew how he would die, knew that he had to antagonize the high priests and the scribes and the Pharisees. But he did not come with some unusual name. He came with a name that was in common use. And it's important to understand that there's nothing magical about the name Yeshua. It's the man Yeshua and what he accomplished that we tap into when we pray appropriately that was important and powerful. Point number five, Yeshua is a God, but not the Almighty God with a capital G. Once one understands that the word translated G-O-D, lowercase, actually means mighty one, and that there are men and demonic deities, including Satan, all of which are mighty ones, brackets gods, then it is entirely so that Yeshua is a God, a mighty one. Except that, as we've seen, God is a meaningless pagan name that refers to a demonic deity, and it is therefore an insult to refer to Yeshua or anyone else apart from Satan and his cohorts as a god. Given that the term mighty one is also used in the Bible to refer to human beings and others in addition to Yah, it then becomes apparent that there is confusion in applying this term. Yeshua is a mighty one, God, but Yeshua is not the Almighty. As many think, by confusing the application of the word God, in some aspects seem to assume that it is exclusive to Yah. There is so much misunderstanding. Remember that when the Bible was translated into English, they didn't have all the resources we have today. There was a lot of oppression, a lot of resistance. They went with the language that was commonly used that the people would understand. Few, if any, knew that the name of true name of the Almighty was Yah, or Yah the eternally self-existing. Few knew that the Hebrew word Elohim, translated as God, should actually be translated Mighty One, and so on. There are numerous words which were wrongly translated at the beginning of the English Bible and Bibles translated from it. And those errors have been perpetuated, and a huge body of doctrine has been built around them. Point number six, Yeshua is a Lord and a Master, but not the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, which is equivalent to Yah, the eternally self-existing. It is so that Yeshua is referred to in the writings by those who followed and esteemed him as a Lord and a Master. One of the problems that one faces is that in the Greek, the distinction between Yahweh or Yahweh or Yah, the eternally self-existing, translated as Lord, and other uses of words translated as Lords is completely lost. So in reading the so-called New Testament, we find people using Lord to refer to Yeshua and Lord to refer to the Almighty Creator, Yah, the eternally self-existing. This ambiguity causes major confusion, which, coupled with the confusion regarding the title the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, causes many to believe that Yeshua is the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, that is, Yah. Once one strips away these ambiguities and wrong translations, it becomes apparent that Yeshua is not Yah. as I was saying a minute ago, there was a lot of wrong thinking in terms of names, a tendency to replace the Hebrew names with anglicizations that were inaccurate, that were politically incorrect, or were politically correct, rather, let me put it that way, but fundamentally technically incorrect. But we have no excuse today. We've got the internet. We've got masses and masses of online resources. There's absolutely no reason for people to adhere to the errors of previous generations. In this context, consider also the following passage in Matthew, or Matthew, which means gift of Yah, 23:8-10. But be ye not called rabbi, for one is your master, even the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, Christ. And all ye are brethren, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, Christ. Yeshua himself corrects those following him and tells them not to call him rabbi or father or master. The multifaceted meaning of the meaningless word Christ causes confusion in these passages, because most interpret these verses as Yeshua in some egotistical way telling the people to call him rabbi and master. So if I just reread those verses, be ye not called rabbi, for one is your master, even the Christ. And all ye are brethren, and call no man your father on heaven, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even the Christ. So people read that as Christ equals Jesus, therefore Christ is God, we should only worship Jesus, and the whole pack of cards comes tumbling down, and you find yourself on the day of your judgment before the throne, where Father says, why did you worship Jesus? Why did you call him Jesus? And you're not going to know what to say. And you're going to go to hell and suffer really painful torment for using the wrong names. Then Yeshua is synonymous with Jesus for some, sometimes, but not for everyone always. As we've seen in recent articles, the word Jesus is derived from Iesus, which in turn is derived from Zeus, a major pagan deity. Another unverified report says that Jesus means aardvark, a form of pig. We've seen that in his mercy, Yah has allowed people to pray in the name of Jesus and receive answers, and even in their confusion to pray to Jesus and have their prayers answered. However, Yah now asserts that the truth is widely available to anyone who has access to a computer and the internet, and that accordingly he is rapidly withdrawing all grace that relates to the name Jesus. Thus, while you may have received answers in the name of Jesus before this, it is now increasingly the case that a smaller and smaller number of highly anointed believers with close relationships with Yah, and those who do not have reasonable means of accessing the truth, are still receiving answers in the name of Jesus, but this will change soon. Folks, this is so, so important. If you are of relatively mature years, I'm talking 60s, 70s, 80s year old, and if you came to faith in Yah at an early age through the name of Jesus and Christ and so forth, and you received the anointing of the Spirit of Yah through Christ, you may still get your prayers answered by Yah as an act of mercy and grace. But if you are a young believer who in recent years has come to belief through Jesus and God and the Lord, the chances are your prayers at some level are not being answered by Yah. Thus, there are some who pray to Yah in the name of Jesus who are having their prayers answered by Yah, but there are others who pray to God or the Lord in the name of Jesus who are having their prayers answered by demonic principalities called Jesus, God or the Lord. These satanic powers are performing major miracles by the manipulation of demonic forces that are acting on people. They're even able to heal by withdrawing the demons that are causing the illness. they produce counterfeit, but that are causing the illness they produce counterfeit. False anointings as well. The goal of these satanic forces is to ensure that every human being on the planet is worshipping Satan through his various principalities, powers, thrones, and dominions in the false names, etc. If Satan and the forces of darkness can ensure that there are no true believers left at the end of the age, there will not be anyone to call for the return of the King, Yeshua, and Satan will have won the victory over the earth forever. Folks, this is just so, so important. If you do not wholeheartedly, solidly, with conviction, believe in the Almighty Creator, Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, you are at best a nominal believer and at worst an unbeliever. And if you're an unbeliever, it doesn't matter what doctrine you subscribe to. It doesn't matter whether you're Anglican, Presbyterian, Muslim, Jewish, whatever. If you do not have a deep relationship with Father Yah, you are an unbeliever and you are serving Satan at some level. There's a category of people that Father calls believing unbelievers. People who subscribe to the Bible, to Jesus, etc., but have no relationship with Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, the Almighty Creator. Point number 8. Yeshua is anointed with the set-apart or Holy Spirit of Yah, Christ, but so are millions of others. As mentioned above, Yeshua is anointed with the Spirit of Yah, that is, in traditional terminology, Yeshua is Christ. However, once we understand that anointed with the Spirit of Yah is a technical description that applies to all believers who have an infilling of the Spirit of Yah, then we realize that there are millions of Christs on earth today, and possibly there have been billions over the last 6,000 years. So Moshe, Moses, was a Christ. David, King, was a Christ. And you, if you're a spiritual believer, are probably a Christ. So anything that infers deity for Yeshua based on Christ is missing the point. Christ relates to Yah. It relates to the Spirit of Yah in and on a human being. Yeshua performed his miracles because the Spirit of Yah was upon him. He prophesied because the Spirit of Yah was upon him. And today in heaven, as the most glorious and most powerful created being in the universe, the Spirit of Yah is powerfully upon him and powerfully anoints and strengthens him. It is the Spirit of Yah on a human being that sets them apart, that makes them different, that allows them to perform miracles, to heal the sick, raise the dead, and so forth. But virtually nobody understands that that's available to them. They look to the odd person who does achieve it and put them on a pedestal, when in actual fact, if you can see somebody else doing it, you should be wanting to do it too. And it's available to you to do it too. Point number 9, Yeshua is the Anointed One, Messiah, Christ. But Christ only refers to Yeshua occasionally. Following on from the previous point, it is so that there are some prophecies that refer to a coming Anointed One, traditionally referred to as the Messiah based on the Hebrew word for Anointed One. But once more, it is important to remember that Messiah and Christ both refer to the spiritual state of a specifically identified human being, in this case, Yeshua, the son of Miriam or Mary. Insofar as that Anointed One is anointed with the Spirit of Yah, there is an element of Yah being at work in that individual. In fact, in the case of Yeshua, who walked with a mighty anointing in a very real sense, Yah was walking the earth through Yeshua. But it was Yah through Yeshua, not Yah being Yeshua, who walked the earth. Thus, we can use the term Christ to refer to Yeshua, or Jesus Christ, and also to the Anointed Ones generally, or to other specific Anointed Ones. So if you are a spiritual believer, you are an Anointed One, and you can legitimately call yourself your name Christ. It's so important to understand, because of the wrong understanding of the word Christ and the belief that Christ is synonymous with Jesus, that we get this mistaken belief that Jesus is the Creator, that Jesus is the Lord, L-O-R-D, capital letters. Jesus is the Almighty. Jesus is God. He's not. He's a human being like you or I. He just happens to have lived a sinless life, and because of that, gained great power and authority in heaven today. This is a huge source of error. People read verses that relate to the Spirit of Yah and convert them to referencing Yeshua the man. For example, consider the following verses. I can do all things through the Spirit of Christ, which strengthens me. Philippians 4:13, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by the anointing of the Spirit, by the anointing of the Spirit of Christ. Sorry, by Christ Jesus. Let's do that again. My mighty one shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So that sounds like it's Christ, which equals Jesus, that's doing the job. But let's read those verses again with the correct translation. I can do all things through the anointing of the set-apart Spirit of Yah, which strengthens me. But my mighty one shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by the anointing of the Spirit of Yah that was upon Yeshua. That's the correct translation. It makes it clear that it's Yah that did the miracles, not Yeshua. Notice how radically the meaning of these verses changes when we substitute anointing of the Spirit of Yah for Christ. Believing that Christ equates with Jesus. This is one of the most significant errors that results in people misunderstanding what would otherwise be plain text. There are dozens and dozens of verses in the New Testament where this confusion between Christ in different senses leads to the wrong conclusion that Jesus equals Christ equals the Creator. And people can't see it. Point 10, Christ is always Yah, but only sometimes Yeshua, the anointed of Yah, the son of Miriam of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem of Yehud, approximately 2019 years ago. From the above, notice that Christ, in the sense that we're accustomed to using it, always refers to Yah and not to Yeshua. Yet it is occasionally so that Christ equates to Yeshua, but not always. While Christ equals the anointing of the Spirit of Yah upon a human being, always refers to Yah. The extension of this logic is perhaps the most essential reason why people believe that Jesus is God. They use Christ interchangeably with Jesus, and from that they take references, such as those above, which refer to Yah, and they appropriate them incorrectly to Yeshua. So the body of Christ is the body of those filled with the Spirit of Yah. This body includes Yeshua, who is the head, the leader, the king of that body, that assemblage or conglomeration of people who are together filled with the same Spirit, the Spirit of Yah, not the Spirit of Jesus. This principle applies to a wide diversity of widely held doctrines in this regard. This is absolutely critical, folks. If you're a committed believer and you seriously want to do what's right in the sight of the Almighty, if you want to keep all 10 of the 10 commandments, if you want to go straight to hell and not sojourn for a season in hell before you get to heaven, you need to get a fix on this truth. Christ always refers to Yah. Sometimes it refers to Yeshua as the anointed of Yah. The rest of the time, it's referring to Yah. Then Yah is one, altogether, singular, not two, not a trinity, not another plural. One of the other causes of confusion is the passage where Yeshua says that he and the Father are one. In the book of Yehuchanan or John, Yehuchanan means Yah has graced, chapter 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. It is widely held that this verse, taken together with the statement that Yah is one, means that Yeshua is one and the same with Yah. In considering this, consider the word translated one in the passages in Exodus and Deuteronomy that was spoken by Yah from Mount Sinai. The Hebrew dictionary definition of this word, which is Strong's number 259, is Echad, a numeral from the Old Testament, 258, properly united, i.e. one, or as an ordinal first. King James Bible version. Words assigned to Echad, A, as in a, singular, alike, alone, altogether, and anything, a piece, a certainty, daily, each one, plus 11, every few, first, highway, a man, once, one only, other, some, together. It is clear from this that when Yah says he is one, he's making a statement that he's not more than one. Since Yah is Yah and Yeshua is Yeshua, it is apparent that Yeshua and Yah are not one in the sense widely applied. If you look at those different words for this word Echad in the Hebrew, you'll see a phenomenon which happens quite widely, that you get one word in Hebrew or Greek that is given sometimes dozens of different meanings in the English, and then whole doctrines are built on these inaccurate translations. A postscript, the biggest error crippling mature anointed believers. As a codicil to this article, please read the article, Biggest Error Crippling Mature Anointed Believers, on the main menu of the website, the webpage. Just a few key points from that article. Number one, you are not a glove puppet. Father does not have you in his hand and he's just moving around and doing things. What happens in your life is a result of what you choose to do. Yah is not going to take control of your life as so many people teach and believe and sing. Yah created you to take dominion over the forces of darkness, not him, on his behalf. Yah created you to exercise your intellect and ability to survive and thrive on earth, not for him to live your life for you. You will determine your destiny when you die. It is a function of what you choose to believe and choose to do and how well you do it. So prosperity requires that you work hard, sensibly and effectively to earn your living. Folks, I really encourage you to read this article. There's a huge amount of error, certainly within the Christian body of believers, that somehow you get to a place where God leads you and guides you every second of every day in every possible way. I prayed that for years. I lived by that for years, made all sorts of really, really bad mistakes, got myself into some deep, dark holes by making bad decisions because I thought God's leading me in everything. And I suggest that you get on to this biggest error crippling mature anointed believers. It should actually be the biggest error crippling believers come to realize now. So what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, this is so, so important. The only reason all of this exists is because many, many years ago, Father Yah was lonely and he set about creating friends. People, he chose to create you and me. He created the universe. He created the solar system. He created our sun and our planet Earth. He populated planet Earth with plants and then animals. And finally with us, human beings. And he put us here to be his friends, people who he could talk to, people who he could relate to, people who he could share things with, people who could enjoy things with him. And then it all went horribly wrong when Satan rebelled and Father agreed to the contest. And it's been a mess ever since. And Father is looking to you and to me to sort out the mess. So please think about that. So wrap up some key documents in a video on the main menu web pages, compendium of important articles, video on the second line of the menu, why seek relationship, the miracle of Yeshua's death, the Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you, seven components in drawing close to the Creator, recommended worship, the Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing, where will you spend eternity, the essence of my message to Christians, also to Muslims, Jews, etc., all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries.org. Transcript of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and then podcasts on the drop-down, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. And you'll find that there are at least four different podcast websites with the back issues of these broadcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I regularly publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. It's james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the mailing list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. The keyword cloud is a separate menu item. It's also at the bottom of most web pages. The table of contents is down the bottom in the right-hand sidebar, also a separate page. The article search and the Google search are a bit down the right-hand sidebar. Google search is very powerful, full Google search functionality across the whole website. Over 2,400 articles, over 1,000 web pages. Please use it to find answers to your questions. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, Father Yah, the Almighty Creator, wants you to become his friend. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter if you're African or Indian or European or Asian or whatever. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white. It doesn't matter whether you're short or tall, thin or fat, rich or poor, educated or uneducated. It doesn't matter whether you've got black hair and brown eyes or blue eyes and blonde hair or anything in between. It doesn't matter whether you're Buddhist, Christian, Muslim, Jewish, Confucian, Hindu, whatever, he wants you to become his friend. Don't listen to all this other stuff that says that you're excluded or whatever. He wants you to become his friend. Please contact me. Please go for it. Good night. Father, I